It's time to get your news on. We are VK1WIA.
Hi, it's Graham, VK4 Baker Baker, with the WIA National News for week commencing June 2. We've got so much news to bring you today. In fact, 41 minutes of news compressed down into 30. So you're just going to have to listen a little quicker. Instead of running through what we've got coming up, let's get straight into it. Here's our president.
This is WA President Scott Williams, VK3KJ, and welcome to all listeners wherever you might be to the national news broadcast this week. With the recent introduction of class licensing, I'd like to talk to you today about the WIA position on the use of VK9 and VK0 prefixes. The WIA position is that we are seeking to have the regulator restore the original call area designations. For that to happen would take an update to the class license to correct this. Discussions to achieve this so far have proved very positive, and we're hopeful that a resolution and restoration of the status quo prior to the class license can be achieved in the near future. We will update WIA members when a conclusion on these discussions is reached with the ACMA. In the meantime, Lord Howe Island operators will need to either use the VK2/prefix or take out a VK2 call sign. Likewise, any planned operations from Heard Island and Macquarie Islands will, for now, need to use the VK9/prefix should any expeditions venture there. We are also aware of concerns from international DX expedition teams seeking VK9 call signs to come and activate Australian territories. We are intending to discuss this further with the ACMA to see if the previous status quo can be restored whereby they can apply for a VK9 or VK0 call on a temporary 12-month basis, along similar lines to special event call signs. In the meantime, they will need to identify themselves as VK9/your home call, i.e. VK9/VK3KJ, until we convince the regulator that they should restore the status quo for these arrangements as well. Finally, the WIA has also raised the concerns about suitable identification documents being provided to radio amateurs that confirm their right to use the class licence and their qualification and associated call signs. We have some way to go with the ACMA discussions on these points and will continue to work on these in the coming meetings with the ACMA. The WIA continues to enjoy a strong, productive relationship with the ACMA, and we hope to progress these matters for a more positive resolution. That's it for me this week, and this has been Scott Williams, WIA President on behalf of the WIA Board. Best wishes.
This is Chris Dimitrievich, VK3FY, on behalf of VK1WIA National News. Dayton Hamvention 2024. WIA Directors Lee Moyle, VK3GK, and Chris Dimitrievich, VK3FY, attended this year's Dayton Hamvention. This event opened up with pouring rain, but that did not dampen the crowds that had come to see the latest gear that was being displayed for the first time. Both Chris, VK3FY, and Lee, VK3GK, had the pleasure of catching up with the ARRL President, Rick Roderick, K5UR, at the ARRL booth. This year's event has achieved a record number of attendees, with the attendance of 35,877 having been announced. Whilst attending the DX dinner, it was a pleasure to hear that Whiskey 8 Sugar, Swains Island, was awarded the Southwest Ohio DX Association's Each Foundation of the Year. Lee Moyle, VK3GK, who was the Oceana pilot on this expedition, was able to be present with Steve Haas in 2AJ, the East Coast pilot, to join the team on stage to be presented with the award. CQDX Hall of Fame inductees for 2024 are Victor Echo 3 Lima Yankee Charlie Caesar, W3UR Bernie, K2 Mike Golf Alpha Richard Ross. At the contest dinner on the Saturday evening, the following were inducted into the CQ Contest Hall of Fame: Papa Papa 5 Japan Radio, Sergio Lima; N2IC Stephen; K2MGA Richard Ross. Nick VK3FE was attending his first Dayton Hamvention. We took time to visit one of Dayton's attractions, the National Museum of the United States Air Force. This is a must-see attraction if one is attending the Dayton Hamvention, and if you do plan to go to Dayton, you should allow a day or two to see this museum, well worth a visit. This has been Chris VK3FY on behalf of VK1WAA National News.
This is Editor-in-Chief of Amateur Radio Magazine, Roger Harrison, VK2ZRH. Back again. I am trusting that some listeners have received the hard copy edition of the latest Amateur Radio, issue number 3. For those that haven't, you can at least content yourselves with the online electronic edition that can be downloaded from the WIA website. You should have received an email via the WIA Memnet system advising that your electronic edition is available to download. Ooh, you haven't registered for Memnet yet? It's easy. Go to the website. From the top menu, select For Members. From the drop-down menu, select Login to Memnet. On that page, look for the Register button and click on that. Then follow the instructions. Simples, as the meerkat said. That ends the lesson for this week. Now, on to hymn number 39. No, wait! Next page of the script, Roger. For all you keen contesters out there, this issue has lots of news for you. First up, there's the WIA Contest Champion Peter Brown Trophy Award for 2022. A long time coming, but here it is at last. In print, for all to marvel at. And take a look at the smiling faces on the page. Once seen, can hardly be unseen. Fast forward to this year, and we have the 2024 John Moyle Memorial National Field Day Contest results. Actually, the top level results for single operator stations and multi-operator stations for both 24-hour and 6-hour log submissions. Plus, detailed analysis and commentary from contest manager Dennis Johnston, VK4AE, not to mention some pictures to ponder. On matters technical, we have part 2 of the 10-meg GPS disciplined oscillator project by Paul McMahon, VK3DIP, plus a charming article on a track and hold external VFO for tuning older radios. This straightforward, ingenious project is just the ticket to beef up an old boat anchor and keep it on frequency. Rounding out the article offering is one from Rick Polden, VK7RI, demonstrating that amateur radio has a role to play still in rescue operations. Further, our collection of colonists continue their contributions, from ALARA to SNews and the WIA DX Awards listings. For a little change of direction, you may recall the piece I did the week before last on solar shenanigans ending in colourful auroras and propagation consequences. Well, Sunspot AR3664, having travelled around the backside of the sun while we weren't watching this past fortnight, has appeared around the other side and promises more of the same we revelled in earlier. The Solar Ham website and others report that this spot group remains very complex magnetically and has had some small eruptions. Although they've not been so strong as last time, and it's not facing the Earth quite yet, AR3664 is the one to watch over the next week. As for the solar cycle peak, well, dudes, all I can do is repeat what others are saying. Are we there yet? I hope to have something to say on that score a little further down the log. While the solar cycle waxes and wanes, you can rely on waveguide made from drains. Volume 92 of Amateur Radio Magazine, issue number 3, More Guts, Less Gab, proudly produced and printed in Australia. I'm Roger Harrison, VK2ZRH. For VK1WIA News.
From here, there and everywhere, you've tuned to the Wireless Institute of Australia's National News Service. We are VK1WIA. Now with international news, Jason, VK2LAW.
Hello. IARU member societies have ratified the nomination of Tim Ellum, Victor Echo 6 Sierra Hotel / Gulf 4 Hotel Uniform Alpha, and Thomas Reed Delta Foxtrot 2 Oscar Oscar for President and Vice President respectively for a five-year term beginning May 9, 2024. Timothy Eller begins his fourth term as President and thanked member societies for their support. IARU Monitoring System Region 1 Newsletter. Radio jamming in the context of electromagnetic warfare on the 40-metre and 15-metre bands is noted in the report. Several instances of relatively rare modulation schemes and protocols associated with mainly military use cases were also detailed. You can learn more about these and view examples of the recorded intruding signals by downloading the free newsletter at iaru-r1.org. Members of the RSGB team, including RSGB General Manager Steve Thomas, Mike 1 Alpha Charlie Bravo, and the RSGB President John McCullough, Golf India 4 Bravo Whiskey Mike, had a successful time at the Dayton Hamvention last weekend. The event was a brilliant opportunity to engage with radio amateurs from around the world and resulted in 132 people joining or rejoining the RSGB. Yes, you did hear right, 132. Antenna damage forces Whiskey Whiskey Victor Bravo to operate at reduced power. In the United States, the timekeeping radio station WWVB is providing its essential information on reduced power following storm damage to one of its antennas. Newsline's Travis Lisk, November 3, India Lima Sierra, gives us an update.
Wind damage to half of its phased array antenna has left radio station WWVB operating at reduced power outside Fort Collins, Colorado. People throughout North America rely on WWVB's broadcasts to synchronize their watches, clock radios, and other consumer electronics. It is also used for accurate time synchronization and for timekeeping applications in appliances, cameras, and irrigation controllers. This is Travis Lisk and the 3ILS.
Thanks, Travis. The AM for Every Vehicle Act is moving forward in the U.S. House of Representatives. The legislation has been approved by a voice vote in the House of Energy and Commerce Subcommittee. Senators Ed Markey and Ted Cruz jointly have applauded the development, calling it another clear signal that millions of consumers are demanding broadcast AM radio remain in their vehicles. If passed, the updated bill would require the Department of Transportation to adopt a rule within 12 months to require that automakers provide access to AM broadcast stations in their motor vehicles. The bill would mandate car manufacturers to install devices capable of receiving AM radio signals in all new passenger vehicles sold in the United States at no additional cost to consumers. Helicopters that fly around carrying gigantic flat antenna arrays are uncommon, but when you spot one, it's not exactly intuitive to figure out what they're doing. These helicopters are tasked with important geological work. Magnetic surveys are an important tool in geology and archaeology. In the latter regard, they were perhaps best popularized by the TV show Time Team. The series would often employ geomagnetic surveys to discover artifacts or structures beneath the ground. The typical technique used on the show involves someone walking around a site with a magnetometer while logging the field strength as they went. By running the magnetometer on a grid pattern across a site, it was possible to build up a local map of the magnetic field, which could reveal anomalies lurking underground. So these choppers, with the big dangling thing, are doing the same, but it's going to be on a much larger scale. Move to DEFCON 2. For four decades since the height of the Cold War, a mysterious radio signal has been broadcast out of Russia, baffling ham radio fans, scientists and spies alike. Some speculate it's part of the Russian government's own secret SETI program or even actively communicating with a visiting alien species. Professor David Stupples, who teaches electronic and radio engineering at the City University of London, personally believes that the enigmatic broadcast nicknamed the Buzzer is likely being kept alive as a fail-safe in case of nuclear war. Broadcast at 4625 kHz, the buzzer has led some physicists to speculate that its signal is being used to monitor Earth's ionosphere. Weird and wonderful, the fund that's Ham Radio Winlink has the final word, but it's all mostly in fun. Now Winlink is showing its more playful side, its fun with a purpose. If you're a fan of Wordle, the web-based guessing game involving five-letter words, you're in luck. In fact, if you're an amateur radio operator who's also a fan of Winlink, you're in even more luck. Meet Hamword, a game that allows amateurs to keep their Winlink skills sharp while engaging in a Wordle-style game. Now in its second year, Hamword has won fans in at least 22 countries and more than 5,700 individual games have been played. To learn more, visit the link in the text edition of this week's WIA National News, best read at wia.org.au. For VK1 WIA National News. In Sydney, I'm Jason, VK2LAW.
We are VK1 WIA. Now, operational news with VK4 FUQ. Felix.
Hello there. Now, contest-wise, 2024. VK Shires contest, June 8 and 9, starts 0000 hours UTC Saturday until 23:59 hours UTC Sunday. All HF bands all the way from 10 to 160 metres, SSB and SCW only. No other digital. Yes, the VK Shires contest is coming up in just under a week, Saturday 8th June, Sunday 9th June, commencing at 0000 hours UTC for 24 hours. The rules and current Shires list are both up on the WIA website. The links are provided in the text edition. The MS Excel file listed on the website should be used to identify the correct Shire Alpha numeric ID, which consists of three characters. Please only use the IDs listed, as the incorrect use of IDs will cause the log to become a check log. The preferred logging program for this contest is N1MM and version 4.15 of VKCL. Can be used if the updated DB3 Shires list is imported. The links to download the latest version of these contest loggers are listed on the WIA website. Converting to Cabrillo 3 from other logging programs can cause issues within the log checking software. Once the contest is completed, please remember to uplog your Cabrillo 3 log file to vklogchecker.com. The contest is open to home and portable stations, including single operators, rovers and multi-operators. If you have any queries, you can contact vkshires at wia.org.au or via the VK Shires Facebook page. Also on June 9, but only CW mode, is New Zealand Straight Key Night, Winter Edition, 0800 hours to 0900 hours UTC on 80 metres. Operators send a signal report, name, location, type of key, type of transmitter, and power output, which is limited to 100 watts. JARL's All Asia CW, Saturday 15 June, 0000 hours, until Monday 17, 0000 hours. WIA Winter VHF UHF Field Day, 0100 hours UTC Saturday 22 June through 0059 hours UTC Sunday 23 June. In VK6 it's 0300 hours to 0359. DX Window to the World, World Cup Cricket Stations. No full list of call signs to give you yet, but there will be special event stations including W2C marking this year's World Cup Cricket Tournament in the countries and states of the United States of America, where the competition will take place starting today, the 2nd of June. The station will be on the air until the 29th of June. The teams will play at stadiums in three US venues and six in the Caribbean. One of the stadiums is a new one in New York, where amateurs in that region, members of the Great South Bay Amateur Radio Club, have organised the special event using the call sign W2C. In the World DX, the Russia Hill Radio Society will be commemorating the 80th anniversary of the D-Day landings, which took place on 6th of June 1944, using the call sign GB8DDY, now until the 28th of June. TM80DD will be active from the 1st through to the 16th of June using CW, SSB and the digital modes on all bands marking the 80th anniversary of the D-Day landings in Normandy. Active is TR8CR from Gabon until at least the end of June. The operator, F8EN Roland, who will operate CW only and will celebrate his 96th birthday while there. QSL for TR8CR is via F6AJA directly or via the Bureau. For VK1 WIA National News, I'm Felix, VK4FUQ in Ingham.
From here, there and everywhere, You've tuned to the Wireless Institute of Australia's National News Service. We are VK1WIA. Now, special interest group news with Bruce, VK3FFF.
And a very good day to you. Worldwide special interest groups, ARDF. USA Radio Orienteering Event receives permit. Organisers of this year's USA Radio Orienteering Championships have announced that they've been approved for a permit to hold the 2-metre classic at the Eddy Discovery Centre at the Waterloo Recreation Area in Michigan. The race will be among several challenges taking place at a variety of venues during the week-long event, which includes practice sessions and training camps, as well as cultural and dinner outings. The championships are being held between the 5th and 13th of October. The USA championships are being held in combination with the IARU Region 2 biannual ARDF championships. The USA events competition age categories range from 10 and younger to older radio operators 80 and above. Worldwide special interest groups, Final Frontier. Project Oscar, the organisation responsible for the construction and launch of the first amateur radio satellite, Oscar 1, in 1961, has folded and donated its remaining funds to AMSAT. Project Oscar, Inc. was originally formed to investigate the possibility of putting an amateur satellite in orbit. The first amateur radio satellite, Oscar 1, orbited the Earth for 22 days, transmitting the "Hi" greeting in Morse code. Since that beginning, the group has focused on supporting and promoting amateur radio satellite-related projects. In addition to donating its remaining funds to AMSAT, Project Oscar also granted AMSAT ownership to the future rights to the term OSCAR, or Orbiting Satellite Carrying Amateur Radio. Ever since the launch of Oscar 1 in 1961, it has been traditional for amateur radio satellites to carry the name Oscar after their launch and activation in orbit. Now, the little-known Aussie connection? In 1967, a group of students from the Melbourne University Astronomical Society came up with an idea to build a small amateur radio satellite. It was just 10 years after the world's first satellite, Sputnik 1, was launched, and Australia had yet to enter the space race. But it was the hard work and persistence of the young students that convinced NASA to launch Australis Oscar 5 into space. Australis Oscar 5 was launched by NASA on the 24th of January 1970. And seeing we are in a space-time warp today, it is interesting to note every few years the myth, supposedly, that cosmonaut Yuri Gagarin was a radio amateur has cropped up again. This myth started in the early 1980s and has been debunked numerous times since, but it still appears on websites listing famous hams. In a May 28, 2024 posting on AMSAT UK, it's noted, "Over the years, the statement that Gagarin was UA1LO continues to resurface. To the best of knowledge, no significant new evidence has appeared during this time." So, was Gagarin a ham, particularly UA1LO? Opinion, and it is only opinion, is that based on the available evidence, it's extremely unlikely that Gagarin was UA1LO. In the 22 years since that original claim was posted, no one has been able to provide any evidence that Yuri Gagarin was in any way involved in amateur radio. Worldwide special interest groups, IOTA. RSGB IOTA contest is on July 27th. The Maldives, AS013, 8Q7KR, only on air till month's end, the 31st of May, and only working with 30 watts SSB on the 10 metres band. If you do snare this one, QSL 8Q7KR via his home call, which is DO4RKR directly, or via the Bureau. Cook Islands, Rarotonga, OC013, and Aitutaki, OC083 ZL4CZ E51CZZ and ZL2KE E51KEE will be active from Rarotonga and Aitutaki July 20th to August the 6th, 40 to 10 metres, possibly 160 and 80, depending on QRN and interest from DXs. Worldwide Special Interest Groups, Radio Amateur Old Timers. Here's Clive.
Hello everyone, this is Clive, VK6CSW, reminding you that tomorrow is the first Monday of the month, time for the Radio Amateurs Old Timers Club of Australia's June Bulletin to go to air. This month, after the latest club news, Bill VK3BR will give a talk on the legacy of Australian inventor and engineer Henry Sutton, after which I'll read an item on Coordinated Lunar Time, or Moon Standard Time, written by Andrew, VK3CAH, and which will appear later in OTN, the REOTC's journal. Everyone, REOTC members and non-members alike, is most welcome to listen to the programme and to join in the callbacks afterwards. Full details of all transmission, times, modes and frequencies can be found on the REOTC website at www.raotc.org.au or just Google REOTC broadcasts. If none of the transmission times suit you, you can download the audio file at any time from today from the club's website. Perth REOTC members and friends are reminded that the next lunchtime meeting at the Woodbridge Hotel in Guildford is on Tuesday, June the 11th. Once again, tune in tomorrow for the June REOTC Bulletin. Enjoy the programme and please join in the callbacks afterwards. 7-3 from Clive, VK6CSW.
Thanks for that, Old Timers News, Clive. I'm Alec, VK2MV, with news from We Young Timers Now. In the interest of bringing more young amateur radio operators into de-expeditioning, the Pacific Islands De-Expedition Group, Inc., and Youth on the Air Americas are pleased to announce a partnership involving the upcoming 3D 2Z De-Expedition in Rotuma in November. Rotuma De-Expedition organizer Greg W6IZT says, following the success with the remote radio used at the recent CB0ZA Juan Fernandez De-Expedition, we will have two remote stations available to young amateur radio operators through Yoda on Rotuma. It is our hope that 75% of the remote contacts made from 3D2Z will be made by the youth participants. 19-year-old Yoda member Keys W0AAE will coordinate the scheduling and operation by the remote Yoda operating team. A freshman aerospace engineer major at Iowa State University, Keyes was the 2023 Bill Pasternak WA6ITF Memorial Amateur Radio Newsline Young Ham of the Year Award recipient. The 3D2Z De-Expedition is scheduled for November 15th to December 4th. Now back to that traveling man, Bruce, VK3FFF. Welcome back, Bruce.
Thanks, Alec. Yes, of late I have been making a bit of a nuisance of myself in VK5. And watch out, I'll be back. Now, Worldwide Special Interest Groups, QRP. QRP Day, June 17th. The 10th IARU Region 3 Conference, held in September 1997 in Beijing, resolved recommendations submitted by NZART, which says that Region 3 societies help to promote the IARU objectives for QRP operation, specifically to support QRP operation on June 17th each year, to foster QRP activities by their members, to encourage regular publication of QRP articles in their national magazines, and provide QRP sections in any national contests. Yuki JH1NBN, Secretary, IARU Region 3, has sent this reminder again. So far, no word on any WIA activity planned. I'm Bruce, VK3FFF in sunny Bendigo.
2024, it's a date. In the text edition of today's national news, best read at wia.org.au, you'll see the entire list of social activity right through to the end of the year. But coming up next week, two big ones, one in VK2, that's the Oxley Region Radio Club's Field Day, and one in VK5, the Australian Fox Hunting Championships. Now till next we meet, I'm Graham, VK4BB. Walk softly.
This has been the Wireless Institute of Australia with the weekly news service. This broadcast is in text, audio and video and is accessed on wia.org.au.